This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that life to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Oh yeah, very appropriate song. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show on Veterans Day. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this special day, a day we remember all those people that risked and sacrificed their lives for us in all the major wars and minor wars, all of the wars in America that made America really a great country and what it is today. We will be talking in a few minutes with Patrick Hedger of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the folly of coordinating drug prices in the United States with price controls used overseas. Yeah, yeah, we're looking to overseas countries and how they're handling it. I'm not so sure that's a good idea. And Adam Schiff nixing a bunch of witnesses that Republicans want to hear from in the impeachment probe. We're going to talk about that. And speaking of that, do you think the impeachment vote's ever going to be taking place? Well, stand by for our two-minute warning near the end of the show. We're going to talk about it, tell you what we think. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, the top 10 greatest stand-up comedians. I'll bet you have a favorite. Well, you'll find out what Rolling Stone says are the top 10 greatest. So stand by for it. Freedom Works, by the way, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. You just got to go over to Overcash Plaza. It's in Dunedin, just north of Route 580 on Overcash Drive. You will find Andrew's Master Barbershop. I was going to say Magic Barbershop. Well, it is magic. What he can do with your head of hair, just amazing. Great haircut at a great price. Also, please visit our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed sets up all of our shows. You'll see a podcast button at the top. Click on it. Any show that we've done recently, you'll know who the guest is and you know our top 10. That's all you need to know in life. And you can listen to it at your leisure. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, the Supreme Court in the news this morning, the long-running battle over the bid by the administration to end that program Obama created for young, what they call it, undocumented immigrants here, for illegal aliens, known as Dreamers, will land before the Supreme Court tomorrow. And a ruling is expected next year, sometime probably in the midst of the election goings-on. The case will put the high court at the center of one of the most politically charged issues since Trump took office. For the administration and for the Dreamers alike, it all comes down to the court. And, you know, we've got Brett Kavanaugh, Neil Gorsuch now. But federal appeals courts across the country have rejected efforts to phase out this DACA program, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. We'll see how the court goes on this. DACA gives some undocumented and illegal aliens brought to the U.S. as children the right to receive a renewable 2-year period of deferred action from any deportation, and then become eligible for a work permit. The question will be whether or not the president has the right in an executive order either to create the program or to nullify it. That's really what it comes down to. I would think if one president's executive order can create it, another president's executive order can end it. You see, we're bypassing Congress all the time now. That's really the job of Congress, to create those kinds of programs in a vote. That's a little more representative, is it not? Well, that's the way it's supposed to be in the Constitution. But we've given a lot of latitude to executive orders. An estimated 700,000 young adults are currently in DACA and could be affected by the ruling. So we'll stay tuned for that. In the meantime, in 2 days, the circus will continue with the impeachment hearings in the Intelligence Committee. In the meantime, House Democratic Caucus Chairman Hakeem Jeffries is blasting Republicans after they submitted a list of witnesses they would like to call. This guy is a Democrat from New York. He questioned the validity of the witnesses. Well, it was more than that. In a tweet, he said, "My 2 cents get lost" to the Democrats. Now, the Republicans would like Hunter Biden and his former business partner, Devon Archer, to get up in front of the committee. They want also the former Democratic National Committee consultant, Alexander Chalupa. Sounds like a taco. Alexander Chalupa. And the anonymous whistleblower that everybody knows who it is, by the way. We gave you the name of that gentleman, that 33-year-old gentleman, some time ago because it was public. And we have every right to do it. And so that's the way that goes. In the meantime, lawyers for that whistleblower have reached out to that Adam Schiff-controlled House Intelligence Committee, insisting that their client is still ready, willing, and able to cooperate with the Republicans, but only in written form. He's not going to answer any questions directly. Why not? Why will he not answer in closed session? He will have his anonymity such that it is protected by doing that. In the meantime, everybody knows who it is. And they send a letter, his attorneys, by the way, the infamous now, Mark Zaid, who is his lead attorney, if not one of the others, who called for a coup on President Trump as soon as he was, did you know that? As soon as he was elected president, Mark Zaid called for a coup to stop Trump, probably within minutes of his election. So that's what's going on with the whistleblower. But according to Zaid and the rest of the band of attorneys, I bet he's got a bunch of them, possibly offered and sponsored by Adam Schiff, they say you can submit questions in writing so long as the questions do not seek identifying information regarding which we will not provide or are otherwise inappropriate. I will ensure you will get timely answers. Well, you can get even more timely answers if you sit his rear end down in a closed committee and ask him a few questions. But they won't do that. In the meantime, did you notice the networks, the same ones that will not name the whistleblower in this case, are falling all over themselves to tell you who it was at ABC that provided a tape of one of their anchors, I guess you could say, with her frustration over the Epstein case and not allowing her to talk about it. That whistleblower brings that up and then goes to CBS. ABC chases down the woman who they claim is the whistleblower and gets her fired over there. So much for sanctity of the press. All right, we're going to take a break and we're going to go on and we're going to talk now about price controls and coordinating them with what is going on overseas here in the U.S.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Hey there, I'm Lynn About Town. Are you looking for something different for your talk radio? Then tune in to our show, Talk of the Town, every Tuesday night from 5 to 5:30. Stay up to date with what's happening in your Tampa Bay, or call in to become part of the conversation. Whatever your poison, I promise you, this one won't kill you, but it'll definitely make you feel good. Talk of the Town, where good guys and good news meet. See you Tuesday at 5 p.m.
Pay honor to the men and women in the military as they risk their lives for our country. Remember them this Veterans Day. Our Veterans Day holiday sponsor is Good Neighbor Roofing of Lutz. Veteran-owned and serving you with years of quality and pride. Call your area's premier residential and commercial roofing experts. Whether it's a hole in the roof or a whole new roof, call 813-428-6999. Learn more at goodneighborroofing.com or like us on Facebook. Good Neighbor Roofing of Lutz. On the air, saluting our nation's veterans.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Veterans Day. Thank you very much for joining us, and we're delighted to have Patrick Ledger of the great Competitive Enterprise Institute join us on this very special day. And we're going to talk with him about tying drug prices here in the United States to drug pricing programs overseas and the folly of it all. Patrick, welcome again to Freedom Works.
Hey, great to be on. I'll just correct you really quick because
please,
we have a lot of family living in the Tampa Bay area. It's Patrick Hedger. So.
What did I call you?
Heath Ledger's cousin. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I meant Patrick Hedger. Okay.
No worries.
Yeah, Heath Ledger. My goodness. He was an actor, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Okay. Hey, you know what? It's early on Monday morning. I have an alibi, Patrick. But anyway, it's great to have you on. And we want to talk a little bit about what it's called, I guess, by CEI, the looming crisis with healthcare expenditures. First of all, it's kind of scary when you realize that all federal spending, healthcare costs are, what, about 25% of that overall, right?
Yeah, that's correct, and growing. It is going to be the single largest budget category of any type of spending, if it already isn't. And we're just talking about Medicare, Medicaid, and some other limited programs, but Medicare and Medicaid make up the vast majority of all that spending. And it's particularly concerning when you have a bunch of candidates running around the country saying we're going to have Medicare for all when we can't afford Medicare for some. Unfortunately, the Medicare program as it currently exists is about $40 trillion in the hole over the next 75 years. I mean, $40 trillion—that's $40 trillion just for Medicare as it exists as an old age retirement health care plan. It's very easy to project with demographics and rising health care expenses what that's going to cost. And in terms of uncommitted revenue or costs that we do not have a committed revenue source for, just for the existing Medicare and Medicaid programs alone is I believe north of $40 trillion now.
Oh, that's unbelievable.
75 years.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We've got, who is it, Elizabeth Warren, who was ducking every question about Medicare for all, by the way. And that's up to 52, $52 trillion. First of all, those numbers mean nothing because nobody can even comprehend how large that is. And the old trick that if you put $1 on top of another, $52 trillion would probably take you to Jupiter and back. You know, that's the kind of nonsense.
Right. I mean, we're talking numbers that rival the GDP of the planet. You know, if you're gonna, we're talking to, I think the planet Earth has a GDP somewhere between 80 and 90 trillion.
Yes,
and
indeed.
You're talking about half of that to pay for her expansion of a program that is already has 40 trillion in uncommitted costs over the next 75 years, unpaid for costs over the next 75 years. It's just funny numbers at this point. It's nothing more than election posturing.
My goodness. And with all of that, you're saying that both the Republicans and the Democrats are putting forward proposals to address drug pricing by tying Medicare payments to price controls found overseas, where there is so much, I guess you could call it socialized medicine. Explain that if you would a little bit, Patrick.
Yeah, so there's obviously, I think we laid out the crisis there pretty well. There's something needs to be done about rising healthcare costs. But there's a million different things we could do, and Democrats and Republicans have managed to settle on the one thing we should absolutely not do, which is import price controls. And you said it, from largely socialized systems or de facto, so you have de facto price controls because the government is the only healthcare purchaser in the country in a place like the United Kingdom, so whatever price they say that they're going to pay is the price control. In other countries, I believe Germany that has, Germany and Japan, where they don't exactly have a national, you know, a completely nationalized system, but the government does put into place statutory price controls and does all the negotiating for a good amount of their prescription drugs. This is a really big problem because ultimately, it just ignores what the function of a price is, right? We should be concerned about healthcare prices, but just changing the price doesn't solve the underlying problem. That's like turning off your check engine light and saying, oh, I fixed my car, right? You're probably just going to end up doing more damage.
I've tried that a couple of times.
Ending up in a ditch down the road.
Yes,
yeah.
That's exactly what happens. Or you turn it off, wait a while, and turn it back on, and for the first few seconds, the light doesn't come back on, so you think you're okay.
Right.
So this gets back, though, to the control of the government. Let's just be honest. This gets back to the control of the government in some way, shape, or form over the price of drugs. And just like anything else, when the government starts to control it, as they are controlling in many cases our health care for certain groups of people, we end up with higher prices. Whereas if we were to somehow allow prescription drugs to stay outside of the clutches of the federal government and in the hands of the free market, I would think anybody with any common sense would realize that you would end up getting lower prices, especially if competition was allowed. But you've got the FDA and all of these other, I would call them, hindrances to the free market. I just wanted to get your thought on all of that.
Yeah, that's kind of getting at what I was talking about, whereas there's a lot of different ways we could solve this problem, right? And they're difficult ways to solve the problem, but one of my favorite quotes is from a children's book, The Phantom Tollbooth, and the only thing you can do easily is be wrong, and that's hardly worth the effort, right? If we want to solve these problems in a way that is sustainable for the long term, we're going to have to make some tough decisions, and that is going to involve looking at the restrictions we place on market entry. That is the FDA. The FDA costs about $3 billion in terms of developmental costs, marketing costs, and approval costs before a drug gets through the FDA process. And even then, we're talking about a 10 to 15% acceptance rate through FDA approval processes. So it becomes very expensive to get drugs to the market. If we want to do something in terms of pegging our system to foreign countries, we ought to look and see what drugs are being approved on a more expeditious basis in developed countries, and give them an expedited path to approval in the United States. We ought to be using all the regulators in the world to be looking at drugs, see who has the best and most efficient process and the safest process. And then if a drug is approved in Germany, for example, because they have a better process, I don't know if they do or not, then there's no reason we should have to make that drug go through the same process here in the United States. So that's one way you could begin to start lowering because there's this fixation, again, on the price of it and not actually what the cost is. And just by tinkering with the price, the cost is going to show up somewhere else. And in Europe, the cost shows up in drug shortages and lack of availability. I mean, in the United States accounts for, I believe, close to 65% of the sales of all drugs that have come on the market in the last decade. And that really tells you that these drugs that are saving lives or revolutionary treatments just aren't available in these countries that we want to base drug price controls here in the United States off of. And so when you begin to free ride on a free rider problem, which is what all of these proposals aim to do, you really leave no one left pulling the cart. And the United States leads the world in drug investment, leads the world in drug investment growth year over year, and leads the world in discoveries of new chemical and biological agents that become prescription drugs. So this is really, I mean, this is literally cutting open the golden goose. And I worry that it's more to solve a political problem versus actually trying to solve the underlying economic and governmental issues that are driving healthcare prices high.
We're talking with Patrick Hedger. Excuse me, Patrick Hedger. He's research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute's Center for Technology and Innovation, and we're talking about tying drug prices here in the U.S. to price control programs overseas. And Patrick, it's kind of depressing that Republicans, who tend to be the party of free enterprise and less government, seem to be just as much on the wagon for looking for these kind of price controls as Democrats do. Let me ask you this, though. Maybe you've never been asked this one before. Is there any country overseas anywhere that we could look to model our healthcare program on? I mean, we're always thinking that all of the other countries have a socialized medicine kind of approach. But maybe there's one or two out there that have a free market. I just wonder if there's any free market countries with healthcare out there.
Oh, gosh.
You probably won't be able to come up with one, unless it was...
Right. You know, but I can point you to a different industry or a combination of different things that we see in industry, other industries here in the United States. I mean, I think looking at how you take care of your automobile, right? It's not directly analogous to healthcare, but you have an insurance system, you have something that needs repairs, maintenance, gets into accidents, gets broken, and can become very expensive, right? The insurance is saved for the catastrophic accident that totals the car or is completely unpredicted, but you don't use your car insurance to go get an oil change, right?
Right.
But we use our healthcare insurance for preventative medicine. We use our health insurance for things that we can anticipate. And we don't shop around. I mean, if you know you're going to need a repair for in your home, for example, if your hot water heater goes out, don't you call in three or four different people to give you a quote? We don't do that with surgeries because you have insurance. Who cares what it ends up costing the insurance company? You pay your copay, and that's it. So what we have is a system that's basically directly disincentivized shopping around. But even in healthcare, where insurance doesn't play the role of the primary purchaser, and I'm talking both private insurance, Medicare, all of these create sort of the same problem. If you look at things like LASIK surgery and cosmetic surgery, where insurance generally doesn't cover those things, prices are coming down. Those are actually lower than the rate of inflation versus healthcare costs being higher than the rate of inflation.
You know,
doctors have to compete with one another.
Yeah, and another thing about that, these doctors are probably better at doing what they do because of the competition. So you actually get a better product in the surgery for LASIK, you know, when you are able to choose, or plastic surgery, because you can rely on your own choices. And like you say, it's not you're assigned a certain doctor because you're under a certain healthcare plan, no matter how good or bad that person is. But Patrick, it was a pleasure talking with you, and especially so on Veterans Day. And I know we could have talked a little bit about the VA and you know, issues there. Maybe sometime down the road we could do that as well. But thank you for joining us, and I hope soon we'll be chatting with you again.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Patrick Hedger of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We are going to take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about whether or not, among other things, we Don Jr., Trump, goes to UCLA. We'll find out a little bit more about that. Maybe we'll talk with Angelo. We'll see. Stay tuned.
Heroes proved in liberating strife. Self, yeah, country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Live in a condo or homeowners association? Do you have issues? How about questions? Tune in to the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network. That's 1340 AM and 106.1 FM. Right, Sharon?
That's right, Mike. We cover it all when it comes to deed-restricted communities. We have the answers to all of your questions and more on the Ameritech Connection every Thursday at 5 p.m. on Tan Talk Radio Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works this morning, Veterans Day. Thank you very much for joining us. Boy, Don Trump Jr. has been busy. I saw him last night on Mark Levin's show on Fox News. I don't know if you saw that, Ed, but yesterday he was also at UCLA. Did you know that? He's on a book tour, and I guess they call it a tense stop. When he visited the campus yesterday, he was received by both protesters and some supporters. The appearance was marked by an argument between he and the audience over why he would not take any questions after talking. He was greeted at first with shouts of USA, USA, when he first got on stage. And he talked for a while, but then other members of the audience started chanting Q&A, Q&A, Q&A. But he would not take questions. He said the reason he wouldn't take questions is that it would risk creating sound bites that left-wing social media posters would abuse if he would just start taking questions. And you know he's going to be confronted anyway, and you'll just have people standing up and screaming at him. That's what they would use. And it would make it look like, you know, it would distort. That's what he said. Then Kimberly Guilfoyle is his girlfriend. You remember her on Fox News?
No.
Well, she was very very conservative. She was an attorney out in California. Mm. Yeah. And anyway, she was there, and she said that the audience members were being rude. Then he went up to the Reagan Library in Simi Valley. Anyway, with all that being said, I just kind of wanted to set that up for our buddy Angelo, the brother of Andrew the Master Barber. Angelo's up in Rochester, New York, I believe, where he's always battling people that, I guess you have your share of liberals up there, right, Angelo?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. We forgot to flip the switch, so I'll ask it again. You got your share of liberals up there in your area, right?
Yes, we do. Rochester, they made it into a sanctuary city besides the mayor over here.
Oh, wow, is it? Well, that's crazy. Well, tell me a little bit about what you think. We got Wednesday. We got these hearings. Finally, I guess they're open hearings. The House Intelligence Committee, chaired by the legendary Adam Schiff. And he will determine which witnesses can come out and talk. The Republicans have sent a list of witnesses to him, including Nellie Orr, who is the wife of Bruce Orr, who was involved in the Intelligence Committee. But she was involved in trying to get dirt on Trump during the presidential election, it turns out. So they want to talk with her. And they want to talk with the whistleblower. And they want to talk with Hunter Biden, the guy that is at the center of the whole impeachment effort because of the Ukrainian phone call with Trump, right? So what do you think?
Well, how can it be really an inquiry, whatever, because he's already refused the Republicans the witnesses that they asked for.
Yeah, and it looks to me like by doing so publicly, it makes the Democrats look bad. This is one of the reasons I wonder about whether or not they'll even take the impeachment vote.
Well, you know, I think Senator Lindsey Graham said, without the witness of the whistleblower, the so-called whistleblower, which I really don't think he is a whistleblower since it's third- and fourth-hand information, it's a farce, you know?
Yep.
And, I mean, is he supposed to be the judge and jury now?
Now
this is not America. This is communist Russia, the way they're handling things.
Now, the one of the probably 42 attorneys for the whistleblower, Mark Zaid, who, by the way, he himself called for a coup on Trump.
Yes, he did.
Minutes after Trump was elected, they found tweets about that.
These people that have been calling for a coup, they should actually be arrested for treason, for actually trying to overthrow the government. And this is what the Democrats have been trying to do, is to overthrow the government. Nothing more than what the Bolsheviks did in 1917. And what Adolf Hitler did in 1933.
You know, that's interesting you mentioned that, Angelo. Would you tolerate something I found that I really like? Listen to this, and I think it was in an email that was sent to me, but it goes like this. It goes, funny. Nazis tore down statues, banned free speech, blamed economic hardships on one group of people. In that case, it was the Jews.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Put the state before God, nationalized health care, had strict government regulation over industry. So the question, does this sound like the policies of a current political party in the U.S.?
Absolutely, the Democratic Party. Also, you forgot to add, Adolf Hitler was the first person to coin the phrase gun control.
Wow, was he?
Yes, he was.
I thought Napoleon coined it. I'm just kidding.
I know.
But I believe it. I mean, now that when I saw that, I had never linked the two.
But actually, what the Democratic Party has turned into, the Nazi Party.
It's almost like the Nazi Party. The party, you know, on how the press and the Democrats come down on what they call the white supremacist, and they try to, of course, they try to include Donald Trump in that group, which is nonsense.
Right. You know, they tore down the statues down south. They agitated all these young people, tearing down statues. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
They blamed, the Nazis blamed economic hardships on Jews.
Absolutely.
And here, the Democrats are blaming economic hardships on people that have money.
Yeah, or, they're rich people.
Rich people.
And Bernie Sanders is rich himself.
Yeah, he's a multimillionaire, and he's got three homes. By the way, I'm going to try to sneak into one of them and take pictures, but go ahead.
You got Bloomberg going right, multi-billionaire.
Oh, I forgot to ask you. Let's go over there for a moment. Michael Bloomberg, who claimed he would not run for president, it's apparently running for president. What is going on?
They all want power, these people. They're getting into the fray. They want this country to be like Nazi Germany or communist Russia. Unbelievable. Here's a guy that when he was mayor of New York City wanted to ban 16-ounce drinks.
You know, that's the only thing people will remember, Big Gulp. They'll look at him and go, Big Gulp.
Yeah, the Big Gulp.
You remember? You know, that's crazy. You know,
I'm a student of history, and, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The only thing that changes are the players. And what's happening here in the United States is a communist revolution or a Nazi revolution. These people, the American people had better waken up, because if the Democrats win in 2020, we're in deep trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by the way, I also wanted to bring in the fact that being Veterans Day, I believe you were a veteran, correct?
Yes, combat veteran, Vietnam.
Yes, God love you.
Thank you.
This is a special day. You know, at least I don't know, we all kind of stop for a moment and we realize and recognize people like you, mm-hmm. and those that didn't make it back, and, you know, the true Americans, the true heroes, the true patriots, the true people that are really American patriots are the ones that, like you, put their lives on the line, quite frankly.
You know what? I love this country. We have, you know, we have this and we have that. You know, we may not be perfect, which we're not, and we're growing all the time, but I still put the uniform on of this country.
Yeah, I know you would. I know you would. And I have noticed, and maybe it's just me thinking and hoping, but I have noticed with all of the, I don't know what you would call it, anti-patriotic venom that we have from time to time, I've noticed more American flags out.
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed, it seems to me that more people, are making an effort to display the flag on days like today. Do you feel that?
Oh, yes. And you know what? I feel confident, and I feel safe that Trump is our president, that we don't have somebody in the White House that's going to cow down to the opposition or to other countries. And it's, you know, it's like, it was terrible when the American people, when I came home, I was called a baby killer, murderer. This is when I landed in, when I came home from Vietnam, and I landed in Travis Air Force Base in California, of all places, right? California. And, you know, we were treated terrible. Really, really terrible.
Has it, but it seems like, despite, excuse me, all of the venom that was going on at that time, because that is, let's be honest, that was the most divisive major war we had ever.
Yes.
So, past all of that, and then today, do you find a newfound respect for veterans today, more so than even maybe 10 years ago, or is it about the same?
Oh, no, I think it's more. I think people respecting the veterans that much more. I mean, I think the people kind of realize what happened back in the 1960s and 70s when we came home.
So is there some guilt, you think, associated with
it? I think they feel guilty about it. I mean, I would hope they do, that veterans shouldn't be treated like that, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, you know, they say like 0.1% actually put the uniform on of this country.
That's right. That's absolutely. What about the VA? I know it's a huge subject, but let me ask you, what would your feelings be about giving a voucher to every veteran?
Well,
and VA, allowing them to choose, you know, to choose the facility they want to go to.
I go to the VA, and I have to say one thing, that the VA changed when George W. Bush became president. It was changing and changing, and since President Trump has been in office, it's like I've been able to go to outside medical where the VA has picked up the tab and everything.
Yeah, because Trump is for allowing people to go outside with, a voucher.
Right. I have gone to the VA, and I have no complaints about the VA at all. They've treated me really
fantastic. That's great. That's great.
Here in Rochester, anyway, it's really fantastic.
Oh,
no problem whatsoever.
Wonderful. Angelo, thank you for calling in, especially on today. And you're the perfect person to talk with on a day like today.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on the air.
We'll look forward to hearing from you again next Monday, I hope.
Absolutely.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Take care.
All right, sir. There he goes, Angelo. The brother of the master barber, indeed, and we're delighted. All right, let us take our final break. And among other things, in our two-minute warning, we're going to talk about whether or not that impeachment vote on Donald Trump will ever take place.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Hi there, I'm Dr. John.
And I'm Dr. Lisa.
Do you have medical questions you never get to ask?
Now you can ask us.
After many years of caring for children and families, we've learned that the best informed families are also the healthiest.
Are you saying knowledge is power, Dr. John?
I am, Dr. Lisa, and since you're the smart one, I hope you'll share some knowledge with me and our listeners.
Let's do this then.
Okay, we hope you'll join us every Monday at noon right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for the Drs. John and Lisa Show.
Listen online at tantalk1340.com.
Hello out there. Tune in every Saturday at noon on Tan Talk for Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. Every Saturday at noon, we will find resources, education, and a shoulder for the caregivers. I know it's tough, but we can work it out together. Look forward to you tuning in on Saturdays at noon, where you'll have tons of information. Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Freedom Works. Back on Freedom Works for the last segment here on this Veterans Day. Thank you very, very much for joining us this morning, for joining us. And I hope you put your flags out and all those good things. You know, we were talking about Michael Bloomberg with Angelo from Bloomberg from New York and thinking about throwing his hat into the ring. That will be interesting. But there's somebody else that might throw her bonnet back into the ring, Hillary Clinton. Did you know that? There is still time for Hillary to enter the presidential race. Apparently some of her associates are saying that there's a good chance that she will. So I'm wondering about that. So you'd have Bloomberg and Hillary coming back, kind of. You know, they've both been around and tried to run before. I wonder what that would do to the Democratic Party. If both Hillary and Michael Bloomberg were up there at the dais, what would happen to the rest of those? I mean, you've already got problems with some of them. They're getting 1% or 2%, you know? And Bloomberg, with all of his money, is he going to be the, what would you call it, the foil to Joe Biden? Because he would try to get more moderate Democrats, you know? And even Hillary is considered a moderate Democrat, right? Because she's rather hawkish. She's rather hawkish when it comes to sending our troops overseas. She voted for the Iraq War, among other things. So, I wonder. Now, Bloomberg says, well, you know, look at the group of people we have running in the Democratic Party right now for president. It's kind of like nobody cares about them, so maybe they'll care about me. Really wild. All right. Real quickly, I want to do something that we have done before and we'll continue to do. It's called a two-minute warning, kind of a sports technology form phrase. But I want to talk about the air oozing out of this impeachment probe. You can almost feel it oozing out in this probe of Trump. Every Republican in the House voted against continuing the impeachment inquiry. They had a formal vote on that. And two Democrats as well. So much for the bipartisan outrage, right? Now the Republicans are asking House Intelligence Chairman Adam Schiff to allow testimony from one of the two central figures in this impeachment effort over the Ukraine phone call. That person is Hunter Biden, the son of former VP Joe Biden. The specific request in the phone call by Trump to the Ukrainian president that has launched this impeachment probe was to ask that Ukraine check into the effort by Joe Biden to fire the prosecutor and quash the probe into the Burisma energy firm. Now, that's the firm that hired Hunter Biden and put him on its board of directors at about, what, 80, 70,000 or something a month? So, Biden tells Ukraine, you either fire the prosecutor or you, Ukraine, will not get $1 billion. I will hold it up. He's on tape. He's on tape saying that. So somehow that quid pro quo was okay. But Trump, if he even did a quid pro quo, when he talks with the Ukrainian president on looking into all of that, that's impeachable. Republicans are also asking that Nellie Orr, the wife of Obama justice official Bruce Orr, also be called. She served on the Democratic committee that was investigating any link of the Donald Trump campaign when he was running for president to a so-called Ukrainian effort to disparage Hillary Clinton. And of course, the Republicans also want the so-called whistleblower on the Trump phone call to testify in private. That way he can remain anonymous, right? But Adam Schiff, who holds veto power on any of those people, will not allow it. Now, why is that? I thought the public's right to transparency and the search for the facts on the Ukrainian matter is what this is all about, transparency. I guess not. But that's exactly why I think the impeachment balloon is deflating and a formal impeachment vote will never occur. All right. There you go.
Then the Democrats will apologize and pay us back.
That's right. And fairies will rise from the ground and a manna will come from heaven and we'll all be wealthy. But speaking about two-minute warning, real quickly, I know we don't have a lot of time on it, but the Bucks beat Arizona at home yesterday. Just quickly, your thought.
Lucky.
Okay. The one word?
Yep.
What about Jameis Winston? How did he perform?
Okay. And we had that discussion last week about okay.
So he was okay. But he wasn't bad.
But he's not worth $20 million a year.
Are they going to keep him after this year?
If he continues to play okay, I don't think so. Got to have some sort of flash. And then you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, if they lose the rest of their games, they're going to have a high draft choice. And there's quite a few decent quarterbacks out there. Yeah.
Maybe the Bears could.
There was a great game on Saturday. I don't know if you saw it. LSU and Alabama.
Yes.
Yeah. That was the draft bowl.
Wow. LSU is impressive, is it not?
Great game, yeah.
LSU just manhandled them, apparently. Yep. Yeah. All right, my friend. All right, it is time, and I love this one. And Ed, you're going to have to, you listen carefully, Ed, because I want you to tell me who you think the number one greatest stand-up comedian is after we go through the other nine.
Bet there's one in there that's in prison right now.
Oh, here we go. Without further ado, the top, by the way, Rolling Stone. So this is not some stupid survey. This is Rolling Stone, and they have some credibility. So here we go. Top 10 greatest stand-up comics, number 10. Mort Saul. You ever hear of Mort Saul?
No.
He was a 60s and late 50s political comedian, casually clad, button-down shirt, newspaper folded under his arm, riffing on politics in a way no one had ever heard before. Number nine, Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
You like him?
It's actually Dave Chappelle.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, okay.
Dave, I'm having trouble with last names today.
Called Heath Ledger.
I know. Did
dug,
I really?
Dug him up.
Oh, well. Dave Chappelle is right. Number eight. Bill Cosby. There he was. He's right. He's down there.
It's a shame because I loved his stand-up.
He was a great comic.
It was always clean. You know?
It was clean. Exactly. Yeah. Which is kind of a paradox now that we know what he's been doing.
Yeah.
But as a comic and storyteller, he advanced the art of stand-up by leaps and bounds. Number seven. Jerry Seinfeld.
I never got him. Never. I tried to watch his shows, and I couldn't stand it.
What's this thing about ice cream? You know, remember, he always, what's this thing about something?
I don't know, because I couldn't stand to listen to
it. Oh, okay, all right, very good. Number six, Joan Rivers. Remember her?
Like nails on a chalkboard, yeah, I remember
You didn't
her.
Like her, huh? Yeah. Remember, she would say, can we talk?
Yeah.
Can we talk?
No, we can't talk.
We can't talk, okay. Number five, Chris Rock. Chris Rock, you like him?
Yeah, I liked him in the beginning. He got a little too filthy, you know, in the end.
Yeah.
But not in the end, but later in life. But
yeah.
He's okay.
Okay, fair enough.
He does good movies.
Yeah, he's been in a few. All right, number four. Louis C.K.
Doesn't ring a bell.
The self-deprecating social critic has crafted many hours of new material, one almost every year, and let the materials go after starting recordings. So, whatever. All right, number three. You probably won't remember, but you've heard of him. Lenny Bruce.
I heard of him, yeah.
Yeah. Lenny Bruce, during his short career, fast-talking hep cat, constantly breaking obscenity laws.
Mm.
And he's number three. Okay, number two. The hippy-dippy weatherman, George Carlin. No,
oh, I know who you're talking about.
Of course you know George Carlin.
I know who you're talking about. Just not for me.
You're not for you?
No.
He had, at one time, the seven words you can never say on TV.
Mm.
Now you can say them. Surprisingly. All right, Ed. Have you been listening?
Mm.
Who's the number one greatest stand-up comedian, please? I know what you're going to say, by the way.
I was thinking Richard Pryor. Maybe not. But that's who I'm going to go
I'm
with.
Surprised you said that. I am. You know who I thought you were going to say?
Who?
The guy that played Mort in Mort and Mindy.
Oh, Robin Williams?
Yeah. That's what I
Did
thought.
Did he do a lot of stand-up?
He started
Did
that.
He?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right, roll the drum.
You want me to roll the drum, too?
You're right.
Ah.
Richard Pryor.
Well, I'm on a roll. What's that?
You are.
Two or three this week?
I am impressed. Richard Pryor. He said, he once said, when you're, remember, he was doing some freebasing,
yeah,
and his face caught on fire.
Yeah.
He said, when you're on fire and running down the street, people will get out of your way.
Yeah.
That is kind of funny in a strange way. Really is.
He made some great movies, too.
He did.
Yeah.
He was a funny man.
Yes.
Yeah. God rest his soul.
Shame.
All right, my friends, thank you for joining us on this Veterans Day. We will be back Wednesday. Please always remember, freedom works.
Come from the cities and they come from the smaller towns.